today's message that God gave me is a lot lighter than the message he gave me last time, so I'm excited about that one. I'm excited to share with you this morning. Today, I'm going to be talking about what God's been saying to me throughout the past several weeks. And God's really been speaking in some powerful ways, and just little things. I'm going to tell you right now, none of those was huge things, what we would classify as huge. It's not like when God called Moses or God called Abraham to do these massive things. These are just little things that I know God is saying to me on a daily basis to be intentional about. Football just started up, and football's always been a wonderful, powerful thing for me. I have a lot of fond memories of football, but a good coach will coach you on the little things as well as the big things, the little techniques. And that's what I feel like God's been doing. And I'm excited to share with you, most of the things that God has been sharing with me have been coming through my morning devotional times. I don't know if you're with me in this boat, but usually my morning devotions don't start until about 9 in the morning. And that is because my boys will come in at 5:30, 6 o'clock, 6 whenever, and wake me up. And that's the beginning of my day. And so Susie works a full-time job downtown at the court. And so I wake up in the morning with the boys, with Susie, and I start getting everybody ready for the day. And I try and help make sure food is prepared for Susie and the boys. And Susie usually takes care of her own stuff, but I like to make her food because I like to serve my wife on a daily basis. Men take note, but I like to serve my wife on a daily basis, and that's a powerful thing for me to start my day off with. But I serve my kids, serve my wife, make sure food is prepared, kids are fed, kids are dressed. That's a big one. Okay, I don't really care about matching outfits, but as long as they have clean clothes on, we're good to go. Okay, so my kids are dressed, they're ready to go for the day, they have their school stuff prepared, their lunches are packed, they're in the truck, we get going to school, and I get back home about 9 o'clock. And that's the first moment I really get to spend some quiet time with God. That quiet time with God has consisted primarily of three or four things. Most of them have been daily devotions that I do through the YouVersion Bible app on my phone. And I love that YouVersion Bible app. You can get many, many translations. Currently, I'm reading through the Message. I really like reading through it because I've read through several different translations. And this one, as I read through it, kind of challenges me. Is that what it really says? And I have to compare it with other translations. Or I never thought about it that way. It's really cool to read through Scripture and just see it through fresh eyes in that way. But I'm reading through the Bible in this Bible app, and I'm doing a couple different devotions. One, I'm doing a devotion with my wife. That's another really cool thing about this application that I use, is you can do these devotions with other people. And you don't have to be in the same room as them. You don't have to call them on the phone. You can do these devotions, and at the end of the devotion, so there's a short devotional thought, several scripture passages to point out the fact that that's not just one little idea pulled out of scripture, but rather that idea matches up with the whole of scripture. So you have several scriptures that back up this devotional thought. And then at the end, you have this part where you can journal and you can write out your thoughts. And if you do this devotion with other people, that's a kind of a bulletin board where everyone can write what God's saying to them in it. And it's amazing. So I have the first devotion I do is my wife and I are doing a devotion where we read through the Bible in a year. And we are currently in the book of Job, which is so encouraging and so fun. But this is a huge thing for me because I just finished doing a training for a premarital counseling. And I'm going through the Save Your Marriage Before It Starts curriculum. And I remember going through this as an engaged couple, so I've been on both the receiving end and now I'll be on the facilitating end of this. So I remember going through this, and one of the things that stuck out to me in the training was they said that they interviewed thousands of couples couples who had been married a short time, couples who had been married decades, and they asked them, how satisfied are you with the spiritual intimacy inside of your marriage? And the average answer was 3 to 4 on a scale of 1 to 10. Yeah, the average answer is 3 or 4. And they asked, how important is spiritual intimacy inside of your marriage? And they all said 9 or 10. Yeah. So one thing that I have committed myself to doing, I'm going to do these devotionals with my wife. I'm going to pray with my wife. We read these scriptures and then we're texting each other throughout the day. I don't remember that that happened. I didn't remember it wording it that strongly. I didn't remember how many times Job's friends confronted him and the logic of their reasoning. And how much I get trapped in that sometimes. Just making it personal and sharing that with my wife. That's very, very important. And if you're married, I encourage you to do that. Do something, some kind of devotional with your spouse. Pray with them daily. But another devotional that I do daily is there's a group of men that we have committed to doing these devotions through this app. And the devotion we're currently focused on is being a man of God, being a husband of God, being a father of God. Yeah, that's good wording, I guess. But being a godly father, a godly husband, and a godly follower of Jesus. And we've committed to going through these devotionals together, and they're powerful because we also committed that we weren't going to have fluff answers, that we weren't going to say, well, yeah, I'm doing great. Everything's perfect. Everything's fine, but we've committed to being honest when we go through these. So when we take and do these devotionals, I'll share, this scripture really struck me today, and I really failed at this yesterday. I was not patient with my wife or kids. I really wasn't. I lost my temper. I thought badly of somebody instead of trying to understand their circumstances and lift them up and encourage them. I tore them down. Like, I can personalize these scriptures and just be real and honest, and I've committed to doing that, even when it's uncomfortable, especially when it's uncomfortable. And the third thing I do is I just started... We're holiness movement people here as Free Methodists, and you, if you've studied it, holiness movement at all, you'll know that one of Wesley's things was Wesley's bands. And so Wesley had these people meeting together, and they asked each other very real, very transparent, very humbling, and hard questions. Not theologically hard questions like, could God make a boulder too big for him to lift? Okay. These are real questions like, what don't you want to tell me right now? What are you struggling with right now? How did you mess up yesterday? Currently, I'm just meeting with one guy. We're doing Skype calls, video or audio, just talking with each other. And this is great because this is a fellow pastor, and we desperately desired to just be real with one another and to have these moments. So we're doing this Wesley's Bands idea, and that's just been the past couple of weeks. But that's been humbling and powerful. God's been speaking to me the past couple of weeks, like I said. I'm going to share with you a few of the things that God said to me throughout the past few weeks, just 3 or 4. But I want to be honest with you, the reason that God has been speaking to me is because I've been intentional to do these things. The reason God has been speaking to me is because I have been intentional to do these things. I believe that God is always speaking, but I firmly believe that we are not always listening. And when I do these things, I put myself more in a mindset to listen. And I have more open ears and open eyes and a humble heart. God, speak to me. Speak, for your servant is listening. If you want to quote Samuel there. Well, the first thing that I want to share with you is that God spoke to me, and one of the things he said is that when I give you a vision, I want you to take a step of faith in it. I want you to say it out loud to other people when I give you a vision. That's what God said to me. This was through a devotional. The devotional thought was just that. It was when God gives vision, there's something powerful when we step out in faith and we say that vision to other people. So they quoted many passages from Scripture where you have God calling someone and then those people, those leaders, speaking what God had given them out loud to fellow believers. And in that, there was this step of faith, but there was also this commitment that if I say it out loud, everybody else is going to know it. Everybody else is going to be looking for it. Everybody else is going to ask me about it. I have to actually believe God said this to me if I'm going to say it out loud. And if I say it out loud, then I have to actually follow through on it. Yeah. Well, I read this, and one of the things they focused on in the devotional was dreams. God speaking to you through your dreams. What has God given to you in your dream? I sometimes get a little skeptical when people will tell me, God gave me this dream last night, and it means this, this, and this is going to happen. I get very skeptical of that. I believe you need to match that up with Scripture, and you need to match that up with fellow believers that are following Jesus and that will pray through that with you, okay? But this was hugely powerful to me because the night before, I had had this amazing dream. I had an amazing dream that we were at this church, and the sanctuary was like four times as wide, so don't worry about perspective here, but the platform was the same, and I was in the balcony, and I was running technology, and that was my job as pastor, was to run technology, and there were people leading from up front that didn't look like me, didn't have the same birthplace as me, didn't have the same first language as me, that didn't have the same music preference or style as me, and I was equipping those people to lead, and it was amazing. It was very frustrating in my dream because if you're a leader at all, you have to know that when you equip people and you let them lead, they're probably not going to do it as well or as quickly or as fast as you would. There's going to be a learning curve and they'll mess up. It's like having kids. Go do the dishes. They're going to break dishes and I'm going to have to pay for it. Okay, there's reality there. But I woke up from my dream and I just felt God's presence. It was amazing and powerful, and I told Susie about it. This is so amazing. This was the coolest dream, and I was frustrated in this dream, but I was so encouraged, and I just knew God was there. And I woke up, and I got the boys ready for school, and I took them to school, and I came back, and I did my devotional, and the devotional was, God will speak to you in a dream, and you will say it out loud to other people. And I was like, you're so cool. Like, I was just, you know, like the jaw-dropping moments. You can't bring words to it. It just puts a smile on your face. Another thing that happened to me in these devotionals, sometimes people share devotions with me. God really spoke to me in this, and it was really cool, and I want you to hear this. I want you to see this. I've done that with several people, and I still do that at times when I go through a devotional. I'm like, man, God, this person just really needs to see this today. And so I'll share that devotional with them. But Pastor Joanna shared a devotional with me, and it was actually not based out of a, this is powerful, you need to read it. It was based out of kind of an inside joke. In the devotional, this guy is talking about how he pulls his children aside and he tells his children these swear words when they get to be old enough, and he doesn't want his kids to be enamored with these words. He doesn't want them to be surprised by them. He wants his kids to know what they mean and why they're swear words and why we don't say them. And in the devotional, he's sharing humbly, and he says, every single time I pulled my kid aside to tell him a swear word and tell him why it's a bad word, they go, oh, I know that word. And then he'd say, well, where'd you learn that word? And he'd say, well, you said it, Dad. And it's like, oh, okay, that's not me. That's not the reason Pastor Chueda shared it with me. But in this devotional, he quickly transitions to this idea of the words that we say that really aren't swear words, but are swear words. How we sometimes something will happen and we mess up, we make one little mistake and we start beating ourselves up about it. And we're tearing ourselves down about it and we're devaluing ourselves. And if God could see us, if God was like right in front of us, the look on God's face, because he knows our thoughts. You're saying that about my child? How dare you? That is vulgar, terrible language. You are not a failure. You are not a mistake. So what? You messed up. Nobody cares. You're the only one that cares. You're the only one that's going to notice. Everybody else is going to laugh about it. And it was such a powerful thought. And I was like, I read the devotional in the morning and I was like, that's cool. I'm going to use that someday. Well, I didn't realize how quickly I was going to use it. And so I went through the day and I picked the boys up from school, and that's rather a rushed experience. I'll share that with you later, and I can talk about that after school, or not after school, after church with you if you want. But I get home and I'm asking the boys, how was lunch? How was school? And they're like, great, we had hot dogs. And I'm like, I didn't pack you hot dogs. I have to pay for that food. Why didn't you eat the food I packed you? You know, I packed you lunches. Why didn't you eat? Those cost money when you eat at the school. I have to pay for that. You know, and the boys are like, Dad, you didn't pack us food. And I said, I packed it last night. I put it in your lunch pails this morning. I told you to put it in your backpacks. I made sure it was in your backpacks. And I opened the door, and there are the lunch pails on the counter. And the first words in my head are, man, Eric, you're such a... I can't say that about myself. I stopped. I mean, I held the door open and I just stood there. And I'm like, wow, God, you really knew I needed to hear that. That's a dumb little mistake, and I just beat myself up about it. And it was true, because I didn't share that with anybody until a couple days later. But I told them about, yeah, I forgot to pack the boys' lunches, and everybody else just smiled about it and they laughed. Oh yeah, that's funny. I did that all the time. Nobody else beat me up about it. Nobody else thought less of me. The words that really aren't swear words, but really are swear words. The third one was one step in humility. That was kind of the phrase in there. One step in humility. One step at a time. It talked about a journey. The small changes that we make. And how we grow over time. I could share with you and go into depth. I won't, but there are parts of who I was when I was 12, 13 years old, that I look back, even, you know, 18 years old, 19 years old, and I look back now, and it's hard to believe that those were ever part of who I was. The severe depression I dealt with. It's hard to look back now, and there are times I do get depressed, and especially with what we've gone through the past couple of years. It's been hard. But to look back and to say that that was who I was, man, it's hard to fathom that now. But there are parts of me that I look back and they're still part of me. 20 years later, they're still part of me. 15 years later, they're still part of me. I remember being 13, 14, 15 years old, something like that, and riding in the back of the truck, sitting on the tailgate, riding through the field on the way out to hunting. And I'm sitting in the back of the truck with my dad, and my brother's driving, and we're going slow. We were safe, okay? But we're driving slow, and I just remember sitting with my dad, and he's telling me about something. And I was, you know, a teenager, so obviously I knew everything. And so I'm telling him how wrong he is and how very off the mark he was and everything he should be thinking. And I'm just lighting into my dad and raising my voice and just getting more and more angry because he will not concede to my points. He will not give in, and my dad is staying calm. But as I got more and more frustrated, I started saying things in a more and more hurtful way. And I watched my dad deflate. I don't know another word for it. I just watched his shoulders shrink. And he knew that that stuff wasn't true, but his son is saying hurtful things to him. I get out of the truck, we get back there, and I walk out to my tree stand. And hunting has always been this time with God for me. I'm sitting still and quiet in a tree. Some people it's running, some people it's walking or hiking through nature. Some people it's sitting in silence. Some people it's reading. Some people it's music. Some people it's service, doing things with their hands. Whatever it is for you, that's amazing. But one of the powerful ones for me was always hunting. And I would sit out in this tree and I would just gaze at nature. And I didn't see anything that day. And I didn't care. I sat in that tree, and I kept trying to spend time with God, and I got really mad at God because he kept telling me things like, if you have something against another person and you're trying to bring your offering before me, go deal with it and then bring your offering before me. And I'm like, well, God, he's wrong. Eric, honor your father and mother. I don't want to. Eric, honor your father and mother. I spent hours in the tree, quiet. And it got to be dark, and I climbed out of the tree, and I walked out and got in the back of the truck, and we're riding in the back of the truck, and I just look over at my dad, and he's quiet. He's not showing any hurt on his face. He's not angry at me. But I start to tear up and I just say, Dad, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for how I talked to you. I'm sorry for how disrespectful I was. I spent time with God in the woods and he just really told me that was wrong. And I love you and I'm sorry I treated you like that. And my dad starts crying. Never saw the man cry before for pain. Not once in my life has my dad ever cried for pain. But he will bawl like a baby if God moves or if his family moves. Like something happens with his family. He is so tenderhearted. And he just starts crying. And I just watched this man inflate. I watched his shoulders get back. I watched this joy come out of him. Humility. That was my teenage years. A couple of months ago, I'm in the house and the boys are not listening. And I'm telling them to do stuff. Boys, pick up your toys. Pick up your toys. Pick up your toys. Pick up your toys! And I just start getting mad. I don't want to yell into the microphone. I just start getting mad. And finally, just pick up your toys! And they're upset. And I'm like, I don't care how you feel right now. I'm angry. I don't care how you feel. Do what I tell you to. And they do it. And I remember essentially putting myself in time out. And just calming down. And the boys came to me and they're, are you okay? And I know I'm not okay. I'm sorry. I'm your dad. I'm supposed to be better than that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I lost my temper with you. I'm sorry I didn't have patience. I'm sorry I didn't understand. I'm sorry I didn't teach you. I'm sorry. And my sons are amazing. And they look at me and they go, Dad, is this because you're sad? Is this because you miss Toby and Brody? And I just started crying. Yeah, bud. It is. That's such a humble thing. I'm a man. I don't want people to see me in weakness. I don't want to be weak spiritually. I don't want to be weak physically. I don't want to be weak mentally or emotionally. I don't want to show that vulnerability. But I want to raise my sons to apologize and to admit they're wrong and they need to see it modeled. So I humbly apologize to my boys. I wish that wasn't part of who I am today. But it is. One step in humility. I'm sorry, boys. One of the things that really stuck with this passage was in 2 Corinthians 4. It says, I'm reading now the Message translation. It says, so we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us. Anybody joining with me on that? Even on the outside it looks like things are falling apart on us. On the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by with unfolding grace, without unfolding grace. Not a day goes by without unfolding grace. These are the things that God's been saying to me throughout the past weeks. He's been saying much, much more. But God wants to speak to you like that every day, every week. You don't have to just hear that from a pastor's words, from a preacher's sermon. You don't have to just hear that from some speaker or read in some book. God wants to speak to you weekly, daily, and make those little corrections. Just like I referenced with a good coach, makes the little references and the little corrections on technique and form. God wants to do that to you and with you. But that involves us having open eyes and open ears to hear Him, to see Him, and to actually accept what He says. I don't know what God's saying to you today. I know He's saying something. I don't know what it is. Could be something vastly different from what I talked about. But God is speaking. And if God isn't speaking to you right now, if God hasn't brought those things to your mind, things to your heart, What routines do you need to change to build in space so that God can speak? Do you need to start those devotionals? Do you need to start having those Wesley's bands kind of idea where you're asked transparent, honest questions? We're going to go into prayers of the people. So in this prayers of the people, typically what I've done with this is we'll have, you can say something out loud and then I'll lead us together and say, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. But I'm going to do it a little different today. We're just going to spend a minute in silence. And then I'm going to pray for us. We're going to lift these times up to God. Lift those things up that He's saying to us. And if He's not speaking, we're going to lift up our hearts and ask Him to convict us. That's a bold prayer right there. Ask Him to convict us so that we do make the time and the space so that God can speak to us.